We're taking you behind the scenes with entrepreneurs that run product-based businesses. There is so much information out there tailored towards service providers, so we have carved out a space just for you. The creative entrepreneurs making and selling physical goods. We're firm believers that everyone has a story to share, and there is so much we can learn from each other's business journey. Whether you are just starting out or a seasoned business owner, this podcast will shed light on new strategies, inspiration, and action steps to help you grow your product-based business. Hey friends, I'm Katie Hunt and welcome back to Proof to Product. Today's guest is Janine Kuo. She is the owner and artist behind Quotations, and she is also a PaperCamp alumni and a Proof to Product Labs member. Quotations is a Brooklyn, New York-based line of letterpress greeting cards and other gift items, and she celebrates diversity of identities and life experiences through her products, and she always does it with a bit of humor. Janine's products address the real-life ups and downs that make the journey both so hard and so delightful at the same time. Quotations is a proud one-woman show. Janine letterpress prints each card on an antique printing press, and then she hand-paints all in any colors by hand, so each one is truly handmade and one of a kind. On today's episode, we're talking about the mission behind Quotations, how Janine weaves her personal experiences and values into each and every product, and how Janine uses her products to celebrate diverse identities and experiences. But before we jump in, here's a quick note from this week's sponsor. This week's episode is brought to you by Proof to Product Labs, my 12-month group coaching program that was specifically built for product-based business owners. Each month, we tackle a different topic to help you build a strong, profitable, and sustainable business. Here's what Erica Lockwell of Our Back Pockets had to say after being in labs for just a few months. I am loving labs, the community, the resources, the learning. I really like the monthly focus and the workbooks you provide each month. Your coaching is superb and the masterclasses have been phenomenal. I'm honestly blown away. I knew this would be a useful offer, but I don't think I realized just how robust, supportive, and educational it would be. Thank you so much, Erica, for this note. It made my day. Listeners, the doors to Proof to Product Labs are always open so that you can get the help you need when you need it most. Head to prooftoproduct.com/labs to learn more and join us for 1 year of support, educational resources, and community. Hey, Janine, welcome to Proof to Product.
Hey, Katie. Thanks so much for having me on.
It's my pleasure. The message of your products and your brand is so strong and important. And I'm just so happy to have you on the show today to share your story because I think it's one that we all need to hear. So thank you again. But before we jump into your products, let's talk about this mission of your brand, Quotations. The mission is to celebrate a diversity of identities and life experiences, ups and downs, as you describe it. Can you elaborate on what this means to you and what this looks like?
Yeah, sure. So a lot of my products are about making cards for the lives that we have, not the ones that we think we should have. And kind of how I think about it is, you know, we have what we all share online on Instagram, and then we have what we Google privately in our own homes.
Yes.
And for the most part, I'm not so much interested in making cards that celebrate our Instagram lives, but I'm more interested in making cards that address, you know, those questions and fears that we have by ourselves. And I guess my thought is that if we, you know, shed some light on those and add some humor to them, they might seem less scary and more normal, and we all might feel a little bit less alone when we realize that we're all more similar than we think.
Yeah. I will say, watching your new products that you come out with, reading your cards on Instagram, like watching you print, it's been so inspiring. And also, it's a very emotional driven line. Like, you really speak to the heart of who people are as individuals and the incredible emotions that they're going through at different phases of their life. And I know you've been through some pretty tough things too. Do you feel that your life experiences are really kind of the anchor for what drives the content in your products and what you, how you present your brand to the world?
Yeah, definitely. I often say that I make cards as I need them. So I think, you know, a lot of the things that I write on the cards are really what I think that I need to hear. And so, you know, I talk a lot about anxiety and mental health and what it means to define success and family for ourselves, which are all things that I've struggled with and, you know, thought a lot about. I make a lot of cards about grief and loss I lost my partner at the time in 2016. And, you know, I started making sympathy cards really because I didn't know what else to do. And for me, grief has been a pretty isolating experience and, you know, a very confusing one and just a lot messier and longer than I thought it would be. And I thought putting it out on cards, like writing it all out and just being like, this is what it has been like, might be helpful for other people just so, you know, they know that they're not the only ones feeling that way.
What has the response been? I mean, what kind of, I'm sure you get emails and messages from people thanking you for saying the things that they're feeling or that they're experiencing. I mean, what has the response been?
It's been a bit overwhelming in a good way, I think. I get a lot of messages from people online. Whenever I go to markets, you know, I end up having a few conversations. Even at the stationery show, I ended up having conversations because I do think it's such a universal experience. And because it's not one that we often talk about or know how to talk about, I think the cards are in some ways an opening for people.
I'm sure that it leads to a lot of very deep conversations when you meet people in person because it opens that door to grief or experience, you know, the anxiety, whatever the feelings are that they're feeling and that your cards are resonating for them.
Yeah, I think because, you know, if you read my cards, I think it's apparent that I've experienced loss myself. And I do think it makes people feel a little bit more comfortable sharing about their own experiences with it.
Does that make it harder? I mean, this is off on a tangent a little bit, but does that make it harder for you to process your own feelings? Do you feel a burden from that? Or does it do the opposite? Does it make you feel some relief?
I think it's actually been kind of this virtuous cycle where I write about grief because I want other people to feel less alone, but then knowing that they relate to what I'm saying in turn makes me feel less alone. So I think it's actually been a really positive part of it.
So I know identity is also a major theme within your products. Define identity as you see it.
You know, I think that representation matters a lot. I think it's important to see people who look like you or are like you in some way as fully represented in the media. And so in my cards, a lot of them have character options so you can pick people with different skin colors or gender expressions. And I think for me, it makes sense, right? We make cards for our lives. And the fact is that we don't all look the same.
Yeah.
And, you know, we all lead different lives. So we should make cards that reflect that. And I think that to me just seems like a very natural extension of making cards.
Yeah. I will tell you that when you came to Paper Camp and you told me that you wanted everyone to have unlimited options in terms of the character styles on the cards, I remember telling you, I don't know that you should do that. Like my gut instinct was like from more of a logistical process standpoint of a business logistics, right? And I remember you saying to me, no, this is important. And I said, I totally understand this. And like the more we talked through it, I recognized that this was such a core like anchor piece to your brand and the vision. And I said, if you can make it work and you can logistically keep up with it, then keep doing it. But I wanted to apologize in case I deterred you from following your dreams on that. But I think I just took a look at it from more of a logistical standpoint rather than the core values that it really was stemming from. It wasn't stemming from I'm trying to systematize my business. You were trying to make sure that people were represented in different ways and that they would see themselves in your products. So I apologize if I took you down the wrong path there.
No, there's no need to apologize. And actually, it's something that I've struggled with as, you know, I have been growing my business and thinking about how big do I want to be? Like, what is scalable? How do you balance like wanting to make cards special and customizable with just the limitations of making them myself.
Absolutely. So like, let's actually talk about this a little bit that like you started Quotations as a side hustle, correct?
Yes.
What were you doing in your full-time job at the time when you started this business?
So I started out doing due diligence on private equity firms.
Oh my goodness. That's like the most 360 degree like change.
I know. And I know you can relate because we both started out in the corporate world, but yeah, you can't really get more corporate than that.
No, you cannot.
So I did that. It was my first job out of college. I did it for 3 years. And I started making cards maybe 2 years into that job, and not even as a side hustle, just as a hobby, as some sort of creative outlet to counterbalance my day-to-day, which was very intense and analytical. And then I left that job and worked for a venture philanthropy organization for a long time, for about 6 years, all the while making cards in the morning and the night and on the weekends. I'm sure a lot of people can relate to that.
Of course. What was it like transitioning? Because now you're full-time in the business and you did have to make that jump. So what kind of obstacles did you face as you were moving it from you moved it from a hobby to more of a side hustle where it was a business, and then you moved it from a side hustle business into your full-time gig. So from the side hustle to full-time gig, what obstacles did you come across?
So I became full-time in mid-2018, so about 2 years ago.
Okay.
Well, it's hard to say because it's so different running it as a full-time business. But I think a lot of the transition, to be honest, because at that point I had sort of been doing it on the side for about 7 years, I think the biggest transition for me was my mindset, at least that, you know, had in terms of getting to the point where I felt ready to get a full-time business. You know, I don't have any sort of formal art background at all. I was a business economics major. And I think it took me a long time to be like, I am an artist, you know?
Yes.
And similarly, to feel like I am a business owner, I am an entrepreneur, because my business is still so tiny. I think no one else was really telling me that I wasn't an artist or I wasn't an entrepreneur, but I think I had to sort of validate that for myself before I decided to take it full time.
Yeah, absolutely. I will say that was one of, I know people when they're talking about this transition, oftentimes talk about the logistics of it. You know, how am I going to make the money I need to make to pay my personal bills? Or, you know, how am I going to, just the tactical pieces, but the mindset piece, as you mentioned, that really is probably the largest piece that all of us have to get over and continue, and not get over, that's not the right word, but we have to process and we have to work through. And I would argue that it's not even just in that jump, but it's like constantly through our business journey that we have to be working on our mindset at different phases. We encounter different struggles and different ways of thinking about things. And to your point, like, I wasn't a trained artist either. I was self-taught in art, but I loved business, you know? And so I thought, well, I can make this happen. I can figure this out. And so, but being an artist, being a business owner, those are two very different things. And you've done an excellent job with both of those. Let's talk about your products a little bit. You are a one-woman shop and you truly create every piece by hand. I'd love for you to describe your production process for everyone listening right now, because it's just so impressive.
Yeah, sure. So my cards are all letterpress printed. So I print them one at a time by hand on an antique printing press. And then for the characters, as I mentioned, a lot of them have different, you can pick and choose. And so I paint them in by hand.
Which, they're beautiful, but it is such a time intensive process for you, right?
Yeah, I watch a lot of TV.
Fair enough. And I will say too, if anyone wants to watch you print, your Instagram has videos of you printing that are really soothing and fun to watch too. But you know, okay, so you do all these, it's a very time intensive product for you. You're hand pressing them, then you're painting them. How are you managing to keep up with the flow of orders and things going out? Do you feel like you have a good system and process in place from orders coming in to you actually producing them and getting them out the door?
I think so. I've gotten better over time, I should say. I do think it's helpful that now I've done it for enough years that I have both, I guess, a higher volume and then also a better sense of what that volume looks like. So, you know, when you're printing on a press, like every card design, you have to like switch it out and reset up the press. And I before was printing cards as orders came in. So, you know, if someone ordered 5 cards, I would print like 5 of that design, which is not the most efficient. And now, you know, when I go in, I'll print like 50 or 100 of each design. So in that way, it's become a lot more efficient.
That's smart. And then as orders come in, that's when you do the painting to customize the people and the...
Yeah. So I print in advance. And then when they come in, you know, I'll have a sheet of everything I need to paint. And then I'll do sort of a batch painting. But yeah, but I kind of do print on, I still do paint on demand.
I was going to say, you're essentially operating as a print on demand business, but it's so high quality and it's so attention, like high detail too, which is hard to scale as we talked about earlier. So like, I'm just curious, like, do you have a long-term vision for quotations? Do you want to intentionally keep it small, or do you see yourself maybe growing production in certain ways or bringing on team members at some point? Like, what do you kind of see for the future?
Yeah, I'm still figuring that out.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
I think for now, I want to keep it small. I do like the flexibility of being a one-woman shop. I think if I brought someone on, it might just be to help with certain parts of the business versus like a full-time employee. What I have done, which has helped, is expand my product line. So like we talked about, I had debated not making the cards by hand, getting rid of the character options. I don't know if it makes sense business-wise, but for me personally, I just decided that that's a part that I'm not ready to let go of. So that part I want to keep. But I have, you know, expanded to stickers and zines, some bandanas and tea towels. In those, I don't manufacture myself.
Yeah, that makes a big difference, huh?
Yes. And in some ways, it's easier to do that because I never started out making them myself. And so in that way, I think I've brought a little bit more balance into my production time.
I think I'm so glad you pointed that out, because I know that you have these other products that you aren't manufacturing by hand and doing yourself. And I do think that is a really great way to balance as you're growing, because you can still continue to do the cards in the way you want to do them. That's important to you as an individual, and it's important to the values in your brand, right? But yet you're layering in these other products.
It is no secret that wholesale buying and selling has shifted this year with COVID. Many brick and mortar shops are placing smaller wholesale orders more frequently, and they are leveraging new ways of sourcing products for their shelves. So what can we as the product makers do to make their lives easier and also strengthen our relationship with our wholesale accounts in the process? I recently asked several brick and mortar shop owners how their buying preferences are changing, how they want to be marketed to, and how manufacturers can best support them right now. This free interview series is available for download right now at proof2product.com/COVID interviews.
The bandanas have been going gangbusters, it seems, from Instagram. How are the, like, is that something you're pleased that you brought in, and is it doing well?
I am. Yeah. They've been, I mean, for kind of unfortunate reasons, but they've been selling a lot more this year because people have been using them as masks. But it was, I think the bandana might have been the first one, at least one of the first non-card products that I brought on. And, you know, I wasn't sure how it would go, but they've been selling well. And actually, it was nice to, I mean, I love designing greeting cards, and I think having to fit everything onto a very small surface area kind of forces you to get really clear and creative with your message. But working with other products is also, I found it to be very freeing, because you can just do more and like say more.
You can do more, you can say more. I also think it's a very natural extension of your line. Your bandanas are not just bandanas. They're like beautifully illustrated. They're very well done. So for anyone listening, go check out our website to see them. I love that you're like building your business in your own way, and you're exploring with new product categories, and you're sticking to the things that matter most to you. Cause I also remember us having a conversation about your cards being square and how like that's not industry standard because of, you know, your messaging comment brought this up to mind of like, we talked about the squares being difficult to sell because they are more expensive to ship and they take up more space on a shelf in a retail store and all these reasons, right? And we talked about it and I'm like, yeah, but your cards are, there's a lot of text. There's a lot to say. And this is an important message to have. And I'm like, if this is going to work for you, then keep going with it. And, you know, see, so I really want to applaud you for like, you've held your ground in a lot of ways of like you've learned different rules of business, but then you've applied them in your own way that makes sense for you and for what you're trying to accomplish. Do you feel, do you know that you've done a good job? That's like a weird question to ask, but like, I want to give you kudos, because I think a lot of times people come to Paper Camp, for example, or I coach people and they expect like everything to have a very specific path. And really, we can give you a ton of different information, but you have to kind of decide what's worth pursuing for you or implementing and how you want to approach it. And you've done a really good job of staying true to the
core values of your business and what you're trying to share and the messaging you're trying to share and doing it in a way that fits with the products you want to create.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. And I think that stems into your other product categories too. What else, what other types of categories did you move into? What kind of products?
I have mini zines. So just like little booklets, have like how to care for your introvert, what to write in a condolence card, like what things to do when you're in a depressive spiral. And again, these are things that, you know, messages that I wanted to share that I couldn't quite fit onto a greeting card, but those have been doing well also. And tea towels, tote bags, and stickers now.
Very cool. What advice do you have for others who are building their businesses? They're just starting out. They have things they want to do, but they're maybe not sure how to approach it. Like, what have you learned that you want to share with them?
I would say, you know, don't wait until you feel like you know everything or have all your ducks in a row before you start, because you may never start.
Yes.
You know, just do it. Like, just put it out in the world. And I really think that's the best way to learn, because you'll see how people respond to your product, and that'll push you to, you know, change them or think about why you made them that way in the first place. And it'll, you know, probably prompt more questions that you'll then learn from. I think not knowing the right way to do things is not only okay, but actually, I've been thinking about this. I think it can be a benefit sometimes. I think the things that are unique about my product that we talked about, you know, having a lot of different characters, having square cards, are all kind of because I didn't know the right way to do it. I paint them in because I didn't know how to letterpress. So I learned how to letterpress, but I wasn't good enough, or I didn't know how to print multiple colors. So I just painted them in. And because I don't own my own press, I rent by the hour. It also makes more sense for me to paint at home versus spending more time on the press. So in some ways, like having limitations or not having the knowledge kind of forces you to be creative and forces you to do things differently than you would have otherwise.
Well, and you come up with different solutions, right? Like, I love that example of you taking the cards home and painting them there, because that makes sense. You're not going to pay for extra time on the press. Like, you're right. When we don't have all the answers, I feel like we're, to some extent, willing to try more things, take more risks. Maybe we're even a little more brave because we haven't failed at something, or we're not trying to follow a certain roadmap, if you will. I don't know if you agree with that, but
I do. Yeah, I do think it's definitely helpful knowing the industry standards. But sometimes it's, yeah, again, like sometimes I think it's freeing to just not know, so that you don't have that in the back of your head when you're trying to figure it out yourself.
I totally get that.
Yeah. I think the other thing is to just do it in the way that works for you. As we talked about, I worked full time for almost a decade before I made the leap to doing this full time. And part of it was, you know, financial considerations. Part of it was just I needed that time to sort of get into the right mindset to be able to do it. Like, I'm a pretty risk-averse person, so I just needed to get to a certain point before I knew that I would enjoy being an entrepreneur. So I just say that because I think sometimes it feels like people have a line, then they go full-time in a year, and then they're huge. But it's really, it's not, it doesn't work like that for everyone. And
it doesn't work like that for most people. let's be clear for everybody, the listening. Overnight successes are not a thing. Yes, go on. Sorry.
Yeah, no, but I think, I guess just do it in the way that works for you, that fits your circumstances and like what you want out of your business and what you want out of your life. I feel like that's something that can be kind of hard to, it can be kind of hard, easy to lose sight of that.
Absolutely. I think that is a really great message. Thank you for sharing it. I do agree wholeheartedly with you that we set ourselves up for disappointment sometimes because we place unrealistic expectations on ourselves, you know, whether it's because of things we're seeing online or comparison, as you said, or maybe we're just very ambitious and we want to get, you know, we want to do things and we want to get these goals done as quickly as we can. But in reality, things take time. Good things take time to create. So thank you for sharing that. Jeanine, what are you working on these days? What's coming up that you want to share with all of us? What's the big thing you're focused on right now?
Yeah. So aside from quotations, I'm actually writing a book. It's exciting. It's called Welcome to the Grief Club, and it's an illustrated book on grief for adults. And it's, I guess you would call it a self-help book, but it's really less about, you know, how you should grieve and more just about the experience of grief, sort of naming very honestly, you know, all of the messy, complicated, kind of weird, funny parts of it. And, you know, my hope is that whoever is reading it who might feel a bit alone will recognize parts of their experience in it and feel just more seen and more like they have a community of people around who get it.
How did this opportunity come about? Because it seems like a very natural progression from the work you've been doing with the product line to now having a more substantial piece in this book to talk about these things that are important to you.
Yeah, so I was approached by a publisher, Workman Publishing, after they saw one of my greeting cards that I had posted online, and it's called Welcome to the Grief Club. And, you know, they were like, is there anything more you think you have to say on this subject?
Yeah, I was like, got a lot to
yes.
say.
I have a lot to say about this. So yeah, I've been working on it since last year. It's slated to come out early 2022. Yeah, it's been a really interesting experience. It's been both really hard to sort of dive back into, I would say, the cute stages of grief for me, and writing it in the middle of the pandemic has been harder than I thought it would be. But at the same time, like it's also very cathartic, and it feels good to be sort of writing something that I hope will be helpful for others.
I was going to say, I'm sure it's difficult to kind of bring yourself back to that place of feeling these feelings and articulating what they feel like and the process of going through what you did. But it also has to feel really good to know that what you're creating is going to be helping so many people, particularly in a time where it's needed, you know, like everyone is feeling some piece of grief right now, it seems. So the work you're doing is important, is what I'm trying to articulate, and not so succinctly.
Well, thank you.
Of course. All right. Well, let's talk about where people can find you online if they want to check out quotations. And are they able to like pre-order the book yet, or not quite yet? Because it's pretty early.
Not yet. Yeah. I'm not sure when they'll be able to,
but you'll talk about it on quotation stuff too. So let's tell people where they can get it. Yes. Check out your products online and also follow you on Instagram or wherever else.
Sure. So I'm online at quotations.com, and that's spelled K-W-O-H-T-A-T-I-O-N-S. Like my last name is Quo. And then I'm on Instagram at quotations. I'm actually on most of the social media platforms at quotations, but I use Instagram the most.
That's where you hang out. Okay. Well, we will include those links in the show notes for everybody so they can easily find you. And Janine, just thank you for coming on today to one, share your heart, two, share how you can build a strong business in a way that suits who you are and the values that you bring to the table and the things that are important to you, both in your real life and in the business. And I'm so proud of you. And I want to thank you too, because you are doing an incredible job of touching on very tough topics within your products that, and in doing so, you're making people feel better. You're making them feel seen and heard and understood. So thank you again for the work you're doing. It's really powerful.
Well, thank you for having me on. It was so lovely to chat with you. And, you know, I have to say that Paper Camp and Now the Labs community, you know, really not only changed my business, but changed the way I experience running a business. So that's been just beyond valuable to me. So thank you.
All right, friends. I hope this episode with Janine reminded you of a few key things. First, that when we pull creativity and inspiration from our own lives and experiences, that does resonate with other people. So definitely lean on your own unique experiences for your creativity and exploration in your art. Second, you can grow your business any which way you want. You can grow at a pace that works for you. You can choose to work on whatever products really fire you up. And third, you and only you can define what success looks like in your business. I really hope you enjoyed this episode with Janine Quo. Be sure to check out her shop and follow her online on Instagram. You can find those links here in our show notes. And if you are interested in finding a community of people who understand what it is like to start, grow, and scale a product-based business, I invite you to join me and over 250 artists, creatives, and product makers inside of our Proof to Product Labs program. Labs is a 12-month group coaching program where we focus on helping you streamline your operations, build systems, enhance your marketing, and rise as a leader within your business. To join us, head over to prooftoproduct.com/labs.
Thanks so much for spending time with us today. Head on over to prooftoproduct.com to join the conversation, access our show notes, and discover free resources to help you build your product-based business. We'll be back next week with a new episode. Thanks again.